I want to welcome everybody to the Master's class here at Life Change Church. So today we are in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, and we are talking about a life without fear. Now, when the old map makers were drawing up ancient maps, they did not know all the things that we know about the world as it exists. They didn't have global positioning satellites that could look down and give us pictures of what the earth looked like. They could not see the world from outer space. And they would make maps of what they knew. Now, but there was much that they did not know. And when they would come to the end of their knowledge, they would often write something like this: beyond this, there may be dragons. You ever seen that on the old maps? Yeah, and if you look at some of those old maps, you'll see the sea monster in the ocean right alongside those words, beyond this, there may be dragons. Now, this is because man has an innate fear of the future and of the unknown. Now, they could have said, well, beyond this, there are sparkling seas and sun-kissed beaches and lush forests and majestic mountains and grand opportunities, but man, by nature, has a dread of the unknown and of the future. He fears the future. And the fear of the future is a foe that we all face. Now, whether you are young or old, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, we wonder about what is going to happen in the future, right? We all wonder about what's going to happen in the future. Fear has no racial bias. It's endemic to all people. There is the fear of where our country is heading, right? There is a fear of the persecution of Christians that is occurring as our country and the world moves further and further away from God and from the biblical values that God has for us. There is a fear of violence that's occurring all around us. We see it on our headlines in the news all the time, carjackings and other things. And then there's the fear of financial loss and the inability to pay the bills that are sitting on our table waiting for us to get home. And then there is the fear of disease and failing health in a world filled with cancer and pandemics and other things. Now, these are just a few of the things that we face in an uncertain future. And yet God wants us to have a future without fear. As a matter of fact, God not only admonished us, but God has commanded us not to fear. Not to fear. Now, in order to have a future free of fear, there are four things at least that you need. And I've listed those there for you in your handout. Number one is contentment. Number two is companionship. Number three is confidence. And number four is comfort. Now, I want you to see these four things in the two focus verses that we have for us today. And they are Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. And it starts, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he," meaning God, "hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Now notice those first few words in verse 5. Let your conversation. Now in the Old English, the word conversation doesn't mean just what you say. It actually encompasses all of your actions, your behavior, and what you say as well. So Paul is talking about everything that you do and feel, not just what you talk about here in this verse. So let's take those four things that I listed that you need to live a life free of fear and see how we're going to find them in these two verses and see how we're going to face a turbulent future that is before us without fear. First of all, according to this verse, we are to have the contentment of His provision, the contentment of His provision. God is going to provide for you. You believe that? That God will provide for you. Now look at it again in verse 5. It says, "Let your conversation," meaning everything that you do and feel, "be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, often we have a fear that our needs are not going to be satisfied and we're going to live lives of discontent. Listen, discontent is a disease that breeds fear. Now, I don't know how many of you or how many truly contented people there are in this building today, but the secret of contentment is not wanting what we do not have, but being grateful for what we do have. Contentment is not having what we want, but wanting what we already have. Now look at that verse. Be content with such things as you have. You see, contentment, real contentment, will make a poor man rich, and discontent will make a rich man poor. There was a naturalist by the name of John Muir, for whom the Muir words are named. Now, do you guys know where the Muir woods are? Yeah, I had to go look it up. I didn't know where the Muir woods were. I haven't been in California, so except the airport at LAX. That's about the only place I've been in California. Muir Woods is a forest of majestic redwoods in California near San Francisco. Now, Muir was in a discussion with a wealthy railroad magnate named Harriman. Now, Harriman was a man who had millions and millions of dollars. Now, Harriman and Muir were talking, and Muir did not have all these millions of dollars. He was just a normal person like you and I. But Muir said to Harriman, I am richer than you are. And Harriman looked at him and said, how is that? And he said, well, I have everything I want, and you don't. Now, God says, be content with such things as you have. Now, as a matter of fact, our Lord said, having food and raiment, let us be content. He didn't say that you have to have a house. Our Lord says, foxes have holes and birds have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So let me ask you, do you have food? Have you got clothes? Well, that's it. Having therefore food and raiment, be content. Be content with such things as you have. Now, that does not mean that you need to give up all that you have. It just means to be content with what God has given you, whatever that is. So there were two tears. Now, these are kind of the tears that come down your cheek, you know, when you cry, when you're sad, who met one day. And one tear said to the other tear, well, who are you? And the other tear said, well, I'm the tear of a girl who loved a man and lost him. And then he asked, well, who are you then? And the first tear said, well, I'm the tear of the girl who found him and married him. Now, you see, God is telling us to just be grateful for what you have. Well, I have been told I'm the only one that thinks I'm funny. So now we live in a day that has confused luxuries with necessities. 1 Timothy 6:6-8 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. You haven't seen U-Hauls coming behind the hearses, right? That's the famous thing. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So the material things of this world, believe it or not, the material things of this world cannot meet the deepest needs of your heart. It is not that the world is too big for us. We are too big for the world. You see, God made us with something different. And that is the reason the Bible says so clearly in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. If it gets silver, it just won't be enough. It just won't satisfy. Trying to satisfy the desire of your heart with material things is like drinking salt water to slake your thirst. The more you drink, the more you want. That's the reason, again, our Lord said in Luke 12:15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. So now we need to learn this. God is both the source and the secret of true contentment. Look at that scripture again, where he says very clearly in our focus verse of verse 5 in the book of Hebrews, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So your true contentment is found in the Lord. There is a verse of scripture over in Psalm 37 and verse 4 that sometimes people misinterpret, because it says that in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, let me ask the question. Does that mean that if you love God, you can have an island paradise somewhere, a pink Cadillac, or handfuls of diamonds, or whatever material things you may want? No, of course not. Listen to what it says. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Well, now, if you delight yourself in the Lord, then what is the desire of your heart? The Lord, right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, which is Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't know how much of God that you have, but you have all of God that you want. Delight yourself in him, and God will fill that void in your heart. Now, everything else is going to change. Everything else but the Lord in your life is going to change. Children will grow up and move away. Wealth may disappear. Somebody once said, money talks, it says goodbye. Right? You may see, I got another joke in there, right? You may lose your home, you may lose your job, you may lose your health. Eventually, you're going to lose your physical life. And that is the reason the Lord says, be content with such things as you have, food and raiment. Because God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, back in 1929, when the stock market fell apart, people got on top of buildings and jumped off because they had their heart, their life, attached to all of those things that they had. Now listen carefully to me. The secret of a future without fear is contentment. The contentment of our Lord's provision. He is going to take care of you, right? Amen? And in the book of Philippians chapter 4, we find the Apostle Paul is in prison. Now if anybody had a reason to gripe and complain, it would be the Apostle Paul sitting in prison, right? But he says in Philippians 4, 11 through 13, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now a lot of us like to memorize that last verse, but we don't like to read those first two verses that are in that section, right? Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Now, some of you are abased right now, which is the idea of being without, poor, and degraded. Now, some of you are abounding. Now, you have more right now than you ever thought or dreamed that you would have. And if you do, if you have that, I'm happy for you, and God bless you. See it as a gift from God, and enjoy it. If God has blessed you with these things, fine. But listen to what Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And the Amplified Version of the Bible reads that same verse, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. He says here, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Now, the King James Version uses the word content, which is translated from a Greek word that literally means self-contained. Not self-centered, but self-contained. And it's like the space station when they send up astronauts to live in it. Well, they put everything on board that space station that is needed. Because you can't run down to the corner Quick Trip to get a quart of milk when you need it, right? You're up there on that space station, so you got to have all that you need. You got to be self-contained. Now, what Paul says is that in Christ, I have a self-contained life. All that I need is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to go outside of Him for contentment. Now, I want to tell you something. I would not sell what I have in Jesus Christ for $1 billion. Not a billion or a billions of billions of dollars. I would not trade places with Charles Koch. And let me tell you, I worked for him for 41 years. But I would not trade places with him for anything. Now, I mean that. What I have in Jesus Christ is worth multiplied billions and more to me than what he has. Now, you're looking at a rich man sitting up here in front of you. Regardless of what I may or may not have in the bank, if you have Jesus, then you have something very wonderful. Now, say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. You see, he says here, be content with such things as you have. For as he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So as you face the coming year, if the stock market goes down, and they're promising right now we're going to have a bank collapse and we're going to have a recession and we're going to have the entire stock market. If it does, if the bottom falls out, well, okay, just praise the Lord. Psalms 37:25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Therefore, if this is true, and it is, then take away the fear of discontent and have contentment of his provision. Have the contentment of his provision. So that's promise number one. Then here's the next promise that we have in this verse. We also have the companionship of his presence. Now, not only do we fear doing without, but we also fear being left alone, forsaken, and lonely. Hebrews 13:5 again says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now notice that last sentence, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, how many of you really, really, deep down in your heart, believe that promise? Yeah. Yeah, listen to me now. You'd better get a hold of that. If you don't believe that promise, you better get a hold of it and apply it to your heart. That is the word of God. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you know what? That may be the most encouraging verse in all of the Bible. It really does. Why do we fear? We're afraid of being forsaken. We are afraid that our friends are going to leave us. Our family may even forsake us. A lack of love causes depression, and that brings fear. Now, psychiatrists say that the greatest need that we have on this earth is not material, but the ability to love and to be loved. And the Lord has said, I will never leave you. Now, I have never pretended to be a Greek scholar. I got computers and I got tools and everything to do all the Greek scholarship work in Hebrew. Man, I can hit a button and it can give me 5 different translations of the Greek in there. But I know just enough about the Greek to be dangerous, is really the problem. Now, but Greek scholars tell us that in this verse, there are actually 5 negatives. 5 negatives that say, I will never leave thee. And it is a compounding of 5 negatives. And I want you to hear what the Amplified Version of the Bible says in this verse. It says, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Now, isn't that something? Now, do you like that? Now, let me read that again, as this is really just an amplification of what it literally says in the Greek language. Here is God speaking to you. Now, this is you and Jesus, and he's speaking directly to you. And the question is, are you listening to what your Lord is saying? Because this is God speaking, okay? It's not a sermon. I'm reading right from the Scripture. Now, listen, he is saying to you, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Assuredly not. Now, if you take that and believe it with all of your heart, then it will take the fear out of the future for you. Amen. Now, there is the companionship of His presence. It is a forever and ever promise from the Almighty God who cannot fail. I will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Now, I heard a young preacher who was studying Greek who tried to explain this verse to an old lady in his country church. And she just smiled and said, "Sonny, God may have to say it 5 times for you Greek boys, but once is just enough for me. I will never, never leave you nor forsake you." Now, when you face the uncertain future, His presence will see you through when you are discouraged. You're going to have some heartaches. There will be some funerals in your life. There will be sickness in your life. There will be some hospital bills. But His presence will see you through. When we are lonely, His presence is going to cheer us up. And there will be some lonely times, but He will never, ever forsake you. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Now, did you know that worry is a mild form of atheism? Think about that. It is. Because it says that you do not believe God's promise that He will never forsake you. When you are worried, His presence is going to calm you down. When you are tempted, His presence is going to help you through and to help you out. He has promised to be with you always, through thick and thin, good and bad, come pleasure, come woe. He is never, ever going to forsake you. And that ought to remove a great fear from you, the fear of loneliness. Now, in order to face the uncertain future without fear, as God commands us, we have these promises, the contentment of His provision and the companionship of His presence. But then here's the third promise that I want you to see in this verse. We have the confidence in His promise. The confidence in His promise. I've been saying it was God saying this all the time, but now let's say that we've got confidence in what God is telling us. A promise that you have no confidence in the person keeping is really not a promise at all, right? But our promise is from God. Hebrews 13:5 again says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now look at that last sentence again. Now the words "He hath said" are in the emphatic. And what that means is He Himself has said it. This is the Word of God. His promise cannot fail. It is God who makes His promise. It's not Keith. It's not the Apostle Paul. His omnipotence is the answer when you don't have strength. His omnipresence is the answer when you are lonely. And His omniscience is the answer when you don't know what to do. This is God's Word. Well, Leonard Ravenhill said, "One of these days, somebody is going to pick up this Bible and read it and believe it, and the rest of us are going to be ashamed." That's right. We're going to be ashamed of ourselves because we don't believe it like this guy does. Listen to what God says. "For He hath said." This is the confidence of His promise. God, who cannot lie and cannot fail, has said these words. Now, most of us just kind of go window shopping through the Bible. You know, we take verses like this and we memorize them, and we may even put them on our refrigerator door. But the question is, do we really, really believe them? Well, some will say, "Oh, isn't that such a precious verse and a precious promise? That's a sweet promise from God. Oh, that's just a wonderful promise." But they never really lay hold of it and apply it into their life. They're just kind of window shopping through the Bible. One man said to his wife, now here he is, it's another joke here, so pay attention, okay? Now, I don't want one of these time bombs that are going to go over people's heads, okay? All right. One man said to his wife, "Well, why do you call it shopping? You never buy anything." She said, "Well, why do you call it fishing? You never catch anything." Yeah. Listen, this is the Word of God. "He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." This is the confidence of His promise. And He will not leave us. You know, there's an old hymn named "I Have Seen the Lightning Flashing." Anybody heard of that one? Yeah, there you go. With the following words, "I have seen the lightning flashing, I have heard the thunder roll, I have felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I have heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. Now, if you wonder why I'm not singing, it's because I can't sing, all right? He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Isn't that a wonderful hymn? That is a promise of the Lord God Almighty, and we have the comfort of His promise. Now, because I know I'm on a deadline, here is the fourth promise that will help you face the future without fear. And that is, we have the comfort of His protection. Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Look at that again. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, most of us are saying, well, what about Al-Qaeda? What about terrorists? What about liberalism and progressivism? What about the persecution of Christians that is beginning, has been going on, but is getting even worse in our country? Listen, God has said He will never leave you. He will not forsake you, and you must not fear what man shall do to you. Listen, the sum of all this is security. It is courage that comes from knowing that God is present with you. This next verse is really one of my life verses. Yeah. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is one of eight different verses that I pray over every night. I pray that God will strengthen my weak faith so that I will not fear and that I will not be dismayed, because God has promised in this verse that He is with me, that He is my God, that He will strengthen me and He will help me and uphold me with the right hand of His righteousness. And my faith stands on the promises of the Word of God. If I do those things, then I have the Word of God promising to me that He will do those things. Now, there's a story of a little boy who was being picked on by a bully going to school. And that bully just frightened him absolutely to death. Now, one day he had had just enough. And he turned around and he told her, you just leave me alone. That's another one of them time bombs. Now you got to pay attention. Now, what God is saying is, look, I am with you. You don't have to fear what man or woman shall do to you. You say, well, what if they kill me? Well, they may. God may allow it. God has allowed His martyrs to die often. But what a privilege it is to die for Jesus. You know, that doesn't mean that God is out of control. Those times are the devil's biggest blunders. And what a privilege to lay down our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone once said, there is one fear that removes all other fears, and that is the fear of God. It was said of one great Christian, he feared man so little because he feared God so much. Now, the people that Paul was writing to were facing terrible and horrible persecution. And Paul was trying to encourage them. They were ready to throw in the towel. But Paul says, listen, God is going to protect you. He is going to take care of you. There's another old hymn named, How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord. And it has these words in it. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, he will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no never, no never forsake. Now, we live in a part of the country called Tornado Alley. And it's called Tornado Alley because those tornadoes come rolling through here like they were on a bowling alley, right? I mean, they just come rolling right on through. Now, down in Florida, they have what's called hurricanes. Now, I've always said that I would prefer a hurricane over a tornado. And I've said that because you can see a hurricane coming and get prepared for it a long time ahead of time. But a tornado can drop right out of the sky right on top of your house without any warning at all. Now, it just drops right down on top of you. And so you can't get ready for it. Now, the weathermen are getting a whole lot better about issuing warnings for tornadoes. And when you think a big storm is coming, I'll do something like I'll go outside on my back deck and we've got patio furniture out there, and I'll bring all that patio furniture in, put it underneath the overhang of the house, and get it up close to the house so the wind can't get to it. And sometimes, though, after a storm, you go out, and the things that you have secured are gone. They've been blown away. Now, the moral of the story is that you'd better be secured to Jesus. He won't blow away. I mean, where is your hope? Where is your security? What have you lashed your hope to? Now, I hope it is the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, these are really two great verses for anyone looking at the future. Aren't they really? I mean, these have got some really powerful words for us. So let me just wrap this up, and then I'll be finished. I don't know whether you've heard of a man called George Matheson or not. Anybody heard of George Matheson? George Matheson. But George Matheson was a student at the University of Scotland, and he was taken with an eye disease, and he was losing his eyesight. And a beloved professor came to him and said, "George, the doctors have told me that it is my responsibility to tell you that in 3 days, you're going to be blind. Now, if there is any face that you want to look upon, I suggest that you do it within these 3 days." So George Matheson was shocked, and he had a girl that he hoped to marry, and he wrote to her and told her of the situation. He said, "Would you come to my side? I want to look up into your face before I go blind." And she writes him back and said, "Well, if you're going blind, I don't want to be married to you. I don't want to be associated with you. I am sorry, but I want to break the engagement." Now, George Matheson was crushed. But he went to the Lord, who wrote these two verses, and the Lord who said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And George Matheson wrote one of the most beautiful songs that has ever been written. And I've copied those words out for you. It's a little bit long here, but that's okay. "O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in its ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's glow its day may brighter, fairer be. O joy that seeketh me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain, and feel the promise is not vain. That morn shall tearless be, O cross that liftest up my head. I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be." You know, George Matheson went on to graduate from the University of Edinburgh and became a mighty minister of the gospel of Christ. And even though he was blind, and his crushing experience allowed him to touch the world and to touch our hearts today. Now, the key to all of this is, "O love that will not let me go. He hath promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, I want you to take these two verses that we've looked at here today, these two verses of Scripture, and I want you to apply them into your hearts personally and to our church corporately, because none of us know what the future is going to bring. But we want to live with contentment. We want to live with confidence. We want to live with courage, because He has promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. Now, would you say with me, "Lord, make me content with your provision. If I have food and clothing, I have enough. Forgive me, Lord, if I have the spirit of covetousness." And then would you thank Him for the companionship of His presence? Know that you would not trade that for all of the wealth of the world. And then would you thank Him for the confidence that you have in His promise? This is what God has said, and I'm going to believe it. For He Himself has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And then will you take comfort in His protection? Say, "God, no matter what happens, I will not fear what man shall do to me." Amen? Man, these are some powerful, powerful verses. Powerful.